Maria, can you call roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chris Gans?
Present.
Robin Schombach?
Here.
John Burr?
Present.
Bill Viner?
Here.
Jennifer Patton?
Here.
And let's welcome our new IDDRC member, Mrs. Patton. Kathleen Erickson? And Rick Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the approval of the legal action report of August 14th, 2019. And I had a chance to read John's. And is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve with a couple of corrections.
Okay. What would those be, John?
In the discretion on item four, one thing I noticed from the checklist that we did discuss was requesting looking at an alternate or transparent stair enclosure on top of the Julie and Drew building, and that should be in the minutes. And on the 18 West 18th, item three, we also discussed and the client agreed to photo documentation of the buildings that are only non-contributing because of the period of significance for their historic district. Get at those in.
So, Mr. Burr, Mr. Chair, are you saying that would be part of the motion?
Yes, it would be.
Okay.
Yes, to just make two corrections, but otherwise as presented.
We will go ahead and take a look.
Okay. Wait, there's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
Bill seconds. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Next on the agenda, I also want to check with DRC members that you had an opportunity to review the materials that were sent out Friday. And so there were three different. Item number three is IID-19-07, Station Pueblo Vida, 901 South 6th Avenue, T19SA00151, DP19-0063. This is a public meeting, and for anyone in the audience, call the audience is at the end of all the meeting. And the first item is preliminary staff remarks.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the DRC, this is a project by the station Pueblo Vida at 901 South 6th Street. It's OC3. It's located within the greater infill sub-district of the IID. And the applicant is proposing to redevelop this piece of property that formerly was used for auto repair. And they're proposing to open up a new restaurant with a microbrewery, storage as an accessory use, and also they're providing for some space for a guest mobile truck to come and go. Through their proposal, the station is requesting the following modifications to the UDC. The motor vehicle parking, they're proposing a total of 10 parking spaces, four of which are on site. And 14 are on 19th Street. The requirement is 29 parking spaces. They went through an individual parking plan, which was approved for one space on site. With the condition for the on-site parking spaces to be available for both customers and employees, and to provide signage on the western parking lot to restrict users from backing out onto 6th Avenue. Another modification requested is the street perimeter yard. The applicant is proposing to maintain the existing setback for the contributing structural site, and also to reduce setbacks from the south property line for a proposed storage unit and a cooler. Another one is the solid waste collection. The applicant is proposing 1 2 cubic yard storage container for refuse and 1 2 cubic yard container for recycling. The two containers are planned to be stored in one enclosure at the southeast corner of the property, and then they would be rolled out to the curb through the southeast gate. Environmental and General Services has required some clarification through the development package proposal, but the latest I heard is that they were okay with that proposal. The other modification requested is the landscaping and screening requirements. The project is proposing shade trees and other planting materials on the right-of-way along 19th Street and 6th Avenue, and shade trees on the southwest corner of the site, and also in between the two existing buildings. And finally, they're requesting a modification to the required 24-foot wide parking area access lane on their parking lot. The applicant is proposing an 18-foot wide PAL parking area access lane. We requested the applicant to show the location of the future right-of-way line, which they have now provided, and they will show it to you in a revised site plan from what was included in the original package. The design professional, Mr. Felton, reviewed the application a couple of times. During the first review, he requested the applicants to provide a shade study pattern on the west parking lot to enhance the design of the site, a utility plan, a landscape plan on the west elevation, the new door that leads to the kitchen, not to give the impression to be a historic door. He also asked for roof materials of the new construction, which is a new bathroom in between the two existing buildings, and the location of the mechanical equipment. The applicant went ahead and did the revisions per the design professional's request, and then the second review, Mr. Felton went ahead and approved the application. So today we're here for the DRC's review. The purview of the IED DRC is in accordance to sections from the Unified Development Code 5.12.6.B.4.C and 5.12.6.1I.1. The IDDRC reviews the application and makes a recommendation to the Director of the Planning and Development Services Department, who will make the final decision. The IDDRC reviews projects according to the IID standards specified in the UDC, but may also comment in other aspects of the project. Per UDC section 5.12.6.I.2, the IDDRC may continue this item being reviewed only one time unless the applicant asks for further continuances.
Thank you, Marie. Next on the agenda is a presentation by the applicant.
Good afternoon. My name is Rick. I'm with Rutt McLean Design and Construction. We're the architects for this project. All the rest of the design team introduce themselves as well.
I'm Jenny, and with Rutt McLean Design and Construction.
Barry Parrott, Arc Studios, Landscape Architect.
Kevin Hall, Cypress Civil Development.
I'm Howard Hayes. I'm one of the owners of the property.
And I'm Philippe Trunet, Cypress Civil Development.
So this is the station Pueblo Vida. Just to give you a quick orientation, this is the project site here, South 6th Avenue, 19th. There are two on-site buildings right now. The west building here, and I'm sorry, this was previously Whitwell's tire shop, for those of you that remember what it used to be like down there. This is the west building here is a contributing historic property, and then the east building here is an existing building that's on-site that was their garage bays that were used as the for the site as well. Let's skip down to the sight line here real quick through the project photos. How far am I down? Perfect.
So again, for orientation, this is the existing west building here and the east building here. The plan is for Pueblo Vida, which is existing local brewery, to occupy the building. To give you kind of the quick layout, they'd be looking at the west building would be their primary use building. They'd be adding a small kitchen, a bar area with a little bit of seating. On the east building, this would be their brewing operations, storage, and have a small tasting room as well. And then we are proposing adding a third building on the site right here in the middle, and that would be a restroom building. And then we've got patios located on the northwest corner here, and then on the north side over here as well. We have reached out to Ward 5. We've met with Ward 5. We've met with Ward 6. We've met with Armory Park. We've also met with Santa Rita West Ochoa, and we've had our neighborhood meeting outside as well. And we've gotten really good positive feedback from all those different groups. The operations for Pueblo Vida that they're planning, they're not planning this to be a college bar. This is not a late night party spot. This is kind of a, this is their brewing operations. This is their place. It's meant to be a community destination. A lot of their patrons that they have that come to their downtown location live in this area. So they want to make this kind of closer and more convenient for them. I know they're looking at, I think their hours of operation during the week, they would close at 10 o'clock at night. On the weekends, they'd extend it a little bit later to midnight. But their focus with all the meetings and with reaching out to the neighborhood has been they want to be good stewards of the neighborhood. They want to be good neighbors of the neighborhood. They have a lot of respect for the area and for this site and for these buildings. Some of the things that we've been addressing kind of early on this project, given its proximity, were noise. That's one of the reasons that we've looked at placing all the patios kind of on the north side here so that we have as much separation from the existing properties that are on the south and the east side so we keep as much of that clearance as possible. During the neighborhood meetings, neighbors were asking Pueblo Vida if they would have live music or outdoor music or things like that. They say absolutely not. They've tried live music at their downtown location. It's just never been a good fit for them. It's never been a good business draw or anything else like that. So they were really shying away from having any of that outside music and outside sound. Again, I think they want to kind of create it as a low-key brewery for the neighborhood. Some of the other things we talked about with the neighbors was the smell on site as well. The brewing operation itself doesn't have much smell, and it is contained within the existing building. We do have our trash cans that are located here, although their menu concept for the restaurant is actually all a plant-based menu, so they don't have as much fats, oils, greases, things like that. They can linger in the trash there as well. In regards to traffic and parking, as Maria pointed out, we're looking at adding 14 spaces along 19th Street up here. There are three additional on-site spaces here and a loading zone that's located over here. They're also directly across 19th, there's a similar setup, and there's actually 14 other spaces up there as well. And that building that's up there is St. Vincent de Paul. And so they have sort of opposite hours of what would be generally used for Pueblo Vida here as well. So they've looked at utilizing kind of the parking across the street for their use as well. Because of the nature of their business, they heavily promote kind of neighborhood walking, biking, and Uber and ride sharing. So we've kind of looked at early on about having this area as being kind of like an Uber drop-off area. There's lots of bike parking. There's, I think, 12 provided here, plus some other that are scattered throughout. The less vehicles that they have, it's more conducive to their business. Early on when we looked at this, we looked at having angled back-in spots along 19th Street here. But what we kind of quickly looked at was that may promote traffic going into the neighborhood at that point. So we've reverted back to having 90-degree parking so that we can keep the traffic kind of on 19th and then back out to 6th without having them go through the neighborhood. In terms of the kind of its location and the community aspects, again, by placing all these patios kind of on the west and the north side up here, and then also with the amount of trees and landscaping and sidewalks. What we're really hoping to do is that as people are driving past on 6th or 19th, you really see those patios with people. There's a nice feel. You see people, you see the tables and chairs, you see the landscaping there, and it's a very it's a shaded spot with trees, and it's kind of a pedestrian friendly area along 6th here and also along 19th as well. In terms of the buildings, let's scroll down here for a second. So again, just orientation, 19th is here, this is the west building over here, and this is the east building over here. They're currently white plaster buildings. The west building has a clay tile roof on it. The east building is flat, but it's got a white, it's white plastered as well. We want to maintain that as much as possible. The existing portico that's out there for the auto use, we would be leaving that. That would just be part of the patio on the northwest corner here as well. And then all the doors and windows in the buildings, we would be just rehabbing those, but they would maintain their existing style and opening and everything else. We do. This is on the east side of the west building. These three windows and two doors that you see there, those are actually presently filled in, but on site you can actually see where those openings did exist earlier on, and there's actually cracks in exactly where those openings are. So we would be removing those infills and then placing the new windows and doors in their original openings. The only door that we are adding, and this is the one that Maria mentioned early on, was this is a new door that we're proposing. It goes back into the kitchen area, and that's really a service door only. It's this door that's located right here. It's behind a screen fence that's here, and it's really meant for people to, or it's really meant for employees to be able to get from sort of the kitchen here over into the east building that's on the other side. The patios that we're creating here are a combination of masonry with a little bit of steel walls. We want to keep those walls as low as possible, pretty transparent as well, in order to just kind of maintain that pedestrian vibe and the community atmosphere as well. The bathroom building that we're adding in the middle here, this building matches the roof slope of the existing west building that you see here. The cladding on that building is a patina mild steel shiplap cladding, and it's not indicated in this rendering, but we're looking at doing a rusted metal roof for that building as well, so that when that patina is out, it will have a similar kind of color as to the red tile roof that's on the west building, but it's a different material, so it's differentiated from the existing contributing property. That's most of the things. Is there anything else I missed on that?
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the DRC, this project will be reviewed this Thursday by the Historic Plan Review Subcommittee. They didn't have a board in the last two meetings, so that's why they're going to you first.
Okay. Why don't we hear from the design professional at this point, and then we'll take questions at that point.
And Mr. Greg Gonzalez, Mr. Chair, is ready to kick in on behalf of Mr. Felton.
Yes, I'm not as familiar with this. I just took it over from Faye. But it seems like they're pretty much preserving the basic historic layout, and the new building is not a copy. It takes the form, and you're saying you're going to put a roof coloring that matches.
Correct.
Or at least emulates what's on the existing building.
Yep, so we're looking at doing a rusted metal roof, so that when it patinas that reddish-orange color, it has a similar color to the clay tile roof that's on the west building now, but it's not the clay tile roof. It's a different material. Yeah.
So I think that's a great approach. What's happening at night? Is there any kind of lighting concept for what's happening in the core areas?
So we have a little bit of landscape lighting that would happen in the landscape areas, and then we've got lighting that would happen underneath the portico. But it's pretty low lighting area for this. There's not a lot of there's not a There's not a need or a desire to create an overly lit exterior space.
But there won't be any issues regarding safety or anything in that respect.
That's why we're looking at doing it on the perimeter for the, in the landscape lighting, so we make sure that all those paths are illuminated and that people can kind of clearly see.
But it looks like you've got here at least 50% shading.
Correct.
It's pretty straightforward. I don't see anything that stands out, you know, in opposition to what would be in the ordinance.
I'll open up to DRC members.
First off, Jenny, do you have any comments further about what you anticipate for the Thursday review?
No, they had gone to, I'm Jody Brown, I'm the historic preservation officer. They had gone to PRS in August and were supposed to go through September, but we've had some delays. But when they did go to PRS, they just wanted some contextual photos. The design maintains and restores the historic building. The new construction is behind and set back from the street facade, so it keeps the form of the historic building, but it's really tucked in there. So I don't think that there were a lot of concerns, and then just restoring the windows. As Maria mentioned, we didn't have a quorum last Thursday, so they will be trailed to this agenda. I'm not anticipating any major issues, and it didn't seem like when they reviewed before that they had a number of issues with the project either.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, a question for the design team. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship to the property directly to the south, mm-hmm. and what feedback that you have gotten from that?
Sure. So we've met directly with this neighbor who owns the property here, and there is a new masonry wall that we're constructing that goes all the way across that property line.
I'm going to have to put the aerial.
Perfect. Yeah. So there's a new masonry wall that's being constructed all the way across that south property line, and then there's actually six trees that are being installed there as well through that. We've met with that neighbor directly. I think, you know, some of her concerns were noise and smell and traffic and those things, but after the ownership had sort of explained what their operation was and what their goals and their sensitivity to the community was, she had no objection to the project.
I noticed on your plans that you're showing about a 51% requirement in the shading, but I'm a little concerned about it. I didn't see a lot of shading over the seating areas, and much of the year it's pretty boiling, and I don't know, I didn't see what trees you were proposing for that area, but that was a concern that I had.
Yes, we have. Yep, so the 51% shading being the pedestrian area that's on the outside, and then we've got, they're a little bit light here, but there's three trees you can mm-hmm. see north in this patio here, and then a proposed trellis it would be okay. over this patio space as well. Okay. And I think I probably failed to mention it earlier on, but the west building and the northwest patio, that's the area that, you know, the 5 to 7 days a week that they're open, this is the area that they're primarily using. This patio over here, this is... If they're looking at maybe doing like yoga or, you know, a private event here and there, then they would utilize this patio for those operations. But this is sort of the bulk of the operation here. And then we've got the portico that exists here, and then they're a little bit light, but there's three more trees that sort of help shade that patio there as well.
I like the design. I like the plant-based menu. One concern I have is, and I'm fine with the parking situation it is, but what happens if it grows and actually moves into the neighborhood more? And I'd like to see ownership make a commitment to work with the neighborhood or any of the neighbors around there to find solutions if they're needed. Just so that we've seen more and more building and then more impacts traffic-wise in neighborhoods around the downtown area. So I think that would be important to have that flexibility built into this.
Sure.
Respond to that.
May I respond to that?
Sure.
So I'm Howard Hayes. My wife and I and my sister are owners of the property. We absolutely we commit to that. My wife has a long history in these neighborhoods. She has a house in Armory Park that she currently rents out. We have another lot in Barbara Santa Rosa that we may build residential on at some point. So we have a long-term commitment to this area. And we see it because of its strategic location between Barbara Santa Rosa, Barbara Armory Park, and Santa Rosa Park. It is a neighborhood thing, and so we are very committed to keeping the neighborhood vibe and everything about it. We weren't interested in doing anything heavily commercial or the business concept that our friends at Pueblo Vida are proposing is again a small tasting room and gathering area directed for primarily toward the neighborhood, because they have another location downtown that can absorb other stuff. So it is really important to us, and I think the really, as it was observed, the buildings that are there, we're not doing anything to those. You know, we really are actually bringing them back to, and by opening up the windows and doors that were there before. So we really want to preserve that that ambiance that has been there for a long time, except for the tire repair part. So.
And one last question is, how do you secure the property after hours? In the sense of, as we know, we have a homeless population that moves through all parts of the downtown area, and so that doesn't become an area of nuisance for people who live nearby.
Yeah, and so that, I mean, that's something we've talked to Kyle Annette, who owned Pueblo Vida, about as well. And their response to that was, if we make this kind of a great community location and an asset to the surrounding neighborhoods, and we can do this kind of 7 days a week, and it runs from the, you know, late afternoon until 10 p.m. at night, and it's something that everybody is like proud of and everybody's very happy with, then that just creates a healthy environment that cultivates healthy environment, right? And I think that was kind of their main concept for this.
I think it's a legitimate concern for everybody in Armory Park and Santa Rosa Park right now. It has been an ongoing thing. So I think that that's a good description of it. It's going to be an alive property that's going to be not just vacant for people to vagrant in. And obviously they'll do appropriate things for their own security. If it's their business, they will be taking care of their security.
Any other comments, questions?
How much seating is there?
There is, do you know off the top?
I don't know off the top.
Great, do you mind going back to the site plan?
I have 7-8 tops on the north patio.
That's going to be whatever certificate.
And two on the west with scattered 4 tops.
They're going to do that U-shaped bar in the main building there on the west side, and that will be, and that's some high tops around it. So not a huge number of bodies in there.
It's actually was a little bit deceiving. Like this entire building with the kitchen and everything is 1,100 square feet, and this entire building here is 1,600 square feet. So they're not big buildings on the site. They're pretty small, and we're trying to create a lot of fluid spaces that move in and out. But as Howard mentioned, we've got the bar here with a couple of interior seats, and then some scattered 4 tops in there. And there's some bigger community type tables back here, but again, those are really only intended for kind of private events and things like that.
So about 100 seats.
I think you're probably up in that range.
So one thing that was mentioned earlier, you know, just playing on what Chris was talking about, mentioned that the property to the north, there might be some type of cross use in terms of their parking.
Correct. You can see there.
Is there anything written with them?
There's no written agreement, but this is actually not, this is all in the right of way on all that.
Oh, you're just talking about that, you're not talking about the surface?
Not the surface parking lot, just there's kind of 14 spaces that exist in the right of way.
And you're just duplicating that on the south side on 9th Street, essentially?
Copy and paste, yeah.
I think that's a good use in terms of turning that right of way into, you know, right angled parking like Nanny, and yeah.
And they've got kind of.
My only concern would be just for the owner, you know, having 100 seats and having a limited number of parking. You know, it's going to flow into the neighborhood eventually. So
in the conversations we've had with them, you know, they say, you know, they're heavily promoting alternative methods of getting there because, you know, because driving their car isn't conducive for drinking at their establishment. So I know too that when we've had these community meetings, there were neighbors that came up to us that lived in kind of these houses along here, and they expressed their concern. They said, look, I'm just really worried. What if somebody parks right here, you know, blocks me in on Arizona Ave? And both Kyle and Lynette were very active and said, then tell us right away, immediately. Like, we want to know that so we can prevent that, so we can make sure that our patrons understand, you know, where they can park, where they can't park, you know, and how they can get here and what they can do. So I'm not one of the owners of it, but I can, having gone to, you know, Ward 5, Ward 6, you know, the neighborhood meetings with these guys, I can tell you that, you know, they are incredibly diligent about respecting the neighbors and the neighborhood that's around.
Is there any other opportunity on 9th Street to do more right-angle parking in the right-of-way, similar to what you're doing on the north side of your property?
Are you, like, referring to over?
Exactly.
We haven't looked at that at all, because this has kind of been our, this has been sort of in our purview.
I mean, I like the use. I think it's, I like everything about it. And just some ideas in terms of maybe trying to create some more parking spaces,
sure.
Converting public space to parking where there won't be an issue and where the business actually has a better opportunity to thrive. So. Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking at.
Can we go back to the site plan? It's funny because I think it's just one spot that's open to everybody, but I think the on-site is actually your loading zone on Arizona?
No, it's an actual parking spot.
That's an actual
spot. We call it,
spot.
It was loading at when this original came out, but once we went through that IPP, we made it a parking
spot.
But
the food truck location is just a suggested, but not actually a parking spot?
No, it's not a parking spot.
Okay. But if we approve the reduced PAL to 18 feet, you do get the 3 extra spaces in the proposed parking lot.
That's correct, under the IID.
Okay. I personally feel that those would be better if those were employee parking, so that there's not tons of egress on the 6th, because it'd be longer periods, and it would also reduce long-term neighborhood parking and just have short-term so residents aren't blocked out. Can we make that condition in approving the PAL that would be the staff parking? Or either or?
Mr. Burr, the UDC does not specify that, you know, a parking space has to be dedicated to a certain group of people. However, there's a language in the UDC that talks about making sure that the parking spaces are available to everybody. So that's a discussion that we had also with Park Tucson. And Park Tucson was uncomfortable about limiting the parking spaces just to the employees, precisely because of the potential of overflow into the neighborhood, trying to minimize it as much as possible. So they wanted to make sure that those parking spaces are available to anybody, with the understanding that most likely the first ones to arrive to the site will be the employees. But still, you know,
we can't make it a condition.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I'm sorry, John, you go ahead.
No.
I'll go next.
I'm actually okay with the parking. I'm actually very surprised that TDOT allowed it, because way back when we put in the spaces to the north, the fire department would only allow no less than 26 feet. Now it's like 22 feet, but they've changed their terms. So I'm glad you were able to get that in that particular section. But generally, the angled parking is limited to commercially zoned proper parcels, even on streets and not residential, which I think it is further into the neighborhood, to my understanding. It's right on the boundary. This is actually technically Santa Rita neighborhood, but it's on the National Register for the Arden Park Larger District.
I'm glad you're keeping the historic building contributing eligible. I think it's great. I think the corrugated metal is totally appropriate. It's an appropriate roofing material only for accessory structures in Armory Park.
Sure.
So it seems to kind of fit in. The wall to the south, technically I wouldn't be opposed to a 7 foot there if the, I want to thank all the design team all the way along. I've been to the neighborhood meetings, I've been to the courtesy reviews, so on and so forth over the last year on this. And the feedback was they wouldn't mind a higher wall. 6 feet, I know, is the zoning code, and it's generally encouraged. But from the contributing building east, but not along the 6th Avenue streetscape from there, an extra foot, if the residents would like it, I wouldn't be opposed to. Mm-hmm. If it comes up.
Sure.
And as I recall, all the residents in the area were very happy with the environmental, with smaller trash cans instead of big dumpsters. So
yes.
I think that's a great thing, and we should approve that particular one today. The tree planting looks fine. It doesn't look like any of the streetscape improvements we've been putting in.
Thank you, John. Sure.
Bob. So,
okay. Yeah, I take no exception to the project design. I think it's nice and wonderful to see the buildings reused and will be an asset to the neighborhood. I have more of a question, because a number of the comments that you made in terms of working with the neighborhood have to do with operational issues, mm-hmm. like encouraging people to use alternative transportation. You really don't have control over that. And limiting the operational hours, I'm not sure that it's in our purview to include that as a condition of your approval. That's a question.
Ms. Chanak, Mr. Chair, it's not specified hours of operation in the UDCID.
Right.
You know,
that was my understanding. And so I just want to be sort of caution about the precedence of agreements that you're making with the neighborhood being a part of our approval. It's also out of our control.
Sure.
And so not that I'm discouraging that. I think it's great if that's how you're working with the neighborhood. It's just that we as a group also need to consider that we're making decisions that go beyond the ownership and management of a particular property or business plan. So again, I'm not taking exception to it. I just wanted to point that out. It's not really a part of what we're looking at. So if that's important to the neighborhood, they need to take other measures to ensure that that's part of the deal.
So I can speak a little bit to that too. I mean, that was something that Pueblo Vida was interested in just expressing early on, their commitment to the location. And they knew right off the bat that if they came down and they said, look, we want to have live music until 2 o'clock, and we want to fill this with college kids, that was not going to be conducive to the neighborhood, right? They wanted to make it clear what their vision was and what they were planning. But to your point, people brought up in the neighborhood association, they said, well, what if Pueblo Vida goes out of business, and what if somebody else comes in? And I think their response to that, the thing that we all kind of looked at, as we said, it's a little bit self-policing, in that I don't think this would accommodate a big, lively venue either, because of the limited parking and because of it's not huge spaces and the way that they're broken up and things like that too. So I don't think that you could get a playground roof deck or something like that down here for some of the way the design is set up as well. So that's at least my hope, that like this is designed for kind of a laid back community brewery.
Noted. Thank you.
Plus, I would say that the owner of the property, aside from whoever's leasing it, has some say in what happens.
Absolutely.
There. And I think your comments and other comments are in our review. In 5.12.1E, it says protect historic structures and historic neighborhoods and existing residential neighborhoods, potential negative impacts in new development. And so that's part of what we have to look at when we have something that abuts residential area. And I think there have been a lot of thoughts given about parking, about hours of operation, and hopefully, I think we have a responsible owner who doesn't want to have a lot of problems. And we have a neighborhood that's very active and will certainly make their issues known, and we have a commitment from the owner to to deal with some of the issues around traffic, and I'm guessing noise as well. So, but they're legitimate concerns.
Honestly, I think it's really wonderful that the current owners are proposing that and have made that, you know, verbal agreement with the residents. But technically, anything that's allowed in C3 zoning, since it doesn't have a rezoning, can't actually impose any further restrictions. So I don't think it really is our purpose.
Well, part of my question is more just a general precedent and managing of expectations, because I think that's important when you're dealing with community members, that I don't want there to be a misunderstanding that an approval by IID has any kind of policing of the operational issues. Again, I'm not at all opposed to the project, and but I just want to be clear about that, because if in fact we had concerns about it that could be mitigated with other design resolutions, then we should consider that. Although I think you've clarified some of the challenges of having a larger venue or a larger activities with the limitations of the actual physical space. Sure. So, thank you.
I think that's a really good point, and I agree. If we were adding a story or square footage to this that would bring in a lot more people, I think there'd be more risk to that. But I think we're constraining ourselves by sticking to the original basically footprint of these buildings. And hopefully that, it works exactly right. People did ask us, well, what if Pueblo Vida goes out of business? What if you sell the property? Well, there's a lot of that we can't control. We have no plans to sell the property. We hope it's a worthwhile property for a small time, but we at least would be turning over a property with a 1,300 square foot building on one side and a 1,600 square foot building on the other side that would have be limited in what they could do with it. And I presume that if they then decided to build on it, would they have to come back to the city and say, hey, here's a struck property, do you want to knock it down and do something else? I don't know.
Well, they couldn't use the IID
to
do that, so.
A question about procedurally, should we, if we point out that we like the power reduction and the environmental stuff, should we call it out in the motion, or just because it's presented as a request, it approved as presented?
Approved as presented.
Okay. All right.
Are there any other questions or comments from the DRC? Is there any motion?
Motion to approve as presented, with the intention that if plans review adds a condition, you'll consider it. As presented.
Would you accept a small amendment that the owner will work with surrounding neighborhoods to deal with any kind of traffic issues that come up?
Yes.
Okay. That's in our purview to do that. Is there a second?
Second.
Before we go, can you please repeat the whole motion, Mr. Byrne?
Approve as presented, under the understanding that if additional considerations are added by plans review, that they are considered by the director. I think encourage would be best to work with the residents as parking changes happen over time, rather than mandate.
Got that, Maria?
That what you were looking for?
So let me try to repeat. So motion to approve as presented by the applicant, with the understanding that applicant is encouraged to work with the surrounding neighborhood to address future impacts on parking.
And for the director to consider any further conditions recommended by plans review, since that hasn't happened. I'm not anticipating
journey,
but.
Okay. Oh, by the plans review subcommittee?
Yes.
To
at least give them the opportunity to comment once we've approved.
Right.
So, and for the director to consider recommendations issued by the apply to be subcommittee.
Could mean something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Okay, you got that. Ray, is there a second for that motion?
Second.
Robin seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for actually working with everybody along the process.
It's been our pleasure.
It's been a nice team.
It's important. Thank you.
DP19-0152, and this is only a study session. We will not be taking a vote on this. And in the spirit of disclosure, I met with the architect after our cursory review. I'm not sure how long it was, Bill.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago or something.
Bill, would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Bill Williams, architect and partner with Engberg Anderson Architects.
Ross wasn't sufficiently motivated to attend today.
No, he was not. He was like, I think I'll skip this one. I believe was his quote. So, but I see there's some new faces in the room today that were not here at the last meeting. Robin, I know you weren't here. And actually, Rick, you weren't. But we've sat down and talked. But we've met and gone over the project. So, what I've done is just put together really a brief presentation that really addresses some of the comments that have been made since the last meeting rather than starting all over. So I'm sorry if I don't have the whole presentation to present. But there should be enough here to...
Bill?
Would you like me to kind of go over the brief overview real quick prior to the presentation, just so everybody's kind of brought up to speed? So this is the second time the DRC has taken a look at this project. It is a study session only. It has not gone to PRS yet. It is scheduled for the October 10th meeting, so it is on its way. The applicant is proposing 44 new and 13 renovated market-rate studio apartments and an additional 3,350 square feet of ground floor retail space. The new studio apartments are located at the southeast corner of Broadway and Arizona Avenue, immediately adjacent to the individually listed historic Julian Drew building. The renovated studio apartments are located on the second floor of Julian Drew, and the two buildings are going to be connected at the second and third roof levels to provide elevator access to Julian Drew and allow for sharing common area amenities that include a rooftop terrace on the Julian Drew building. And the applicant is requesting UDC modifications for setbacks, landscaping, screening, and solid waste collection. So with that, Bill.
Okay.
Take a look. Well, thank you. I brought just a few images of the previous presentation, and this happens to be one of them. So this was part of the original presentation. And as you can see, this is the southeast corner of Arizona Avenue and Broadway. The Julian Drew building is located here. There are four floors of apartments or studio apartments located above. They're maximizing the height of these units. It's about 16 feet, 6 inches floor to floor. So each unit will actually have a loft inside of it, which creates a very unusual, different type of apartment unit for downtown Tucson. I'll just point out a couple of the comments that were made regarding the design the last time, and then we can go into how those were addressed. One of the comments was the relationship between the Julie and Drew building and the new building at the ground level was seen as fairly strong, that there's a differentiation of the base of the new building, and there's a very strong differentiation of the base of the Julie and Drew building. And that line continues very strongly all the way across. Where it broke down, I think the comment was at the second level, which is also sort of within the purview of the ID design guidelines, is that that relationship was not as strong. And I know that when I met with Rick, one of the things we talked about was that in the design, the elevation has these different bays that pop in and pop out to create this kind of dynamic patterning of the facade. And we had very carefully, intentionally cut out this particular corner so that when you view the building with that eroded corner, it really strengthens that at that second level. And with the balconies, with the railings, you know, it really starts to tie that to that. And one of the modifications we've made since then is we've also gone and cut away the corner on this side so that now we have not only this corner removed, but that corner removed, but even further strengthens that separation at that second level. Before we move on to the other images, one of the other issues was this particular facade. It's about 85 feet tall, about 30 feet wide, and there was concern that it wasn't very interesting. And so what we've done is we've looked at some different ways to add patterning and texture to that to give it a lot more interest when the sun hits it, shadowing on it, textural differences. So we'll see that in a moment as well. Another comment that came up was Arizona Avenue itself, there was a fair amount of pedestrian travel up and down that street. And currently, it looks like an alley. It's an undifferentiated alley from edge to edge. And I think we might as well flip to the next one. So we can look at the plan here. Yeah, that's good. So what we're proposing now, and this was put into the revised development package that just was resubmitted last Friday, I believe, is we are proposing the addition of, it's about a 5-foot walkway along this side. And it's not like a curb, but it's a change in material and a change in texture to differentiate that as a walking zone next to the building. That distinguishes it from the alley area. And we believe with that, as well as these small indented areas that have some planting in it, it'll create a much more pedestrian sort of friendly experience as you walk along that edge of the building.
But is that in the right-of-way?
It is in the right-of-way. It is in the right-of-way. So we'll have to see what kind of comments come back from.
It's a right-of-way improvement.
Right, exactly. But we are proposing that because, I mean, personally, I think it's a great idea. I've seen a lot of people walking up and down that alley, and I think it improved the safety of that area as well. While we're on this plan, another comment, I believe, Rick, you'd made it about lighting, and lighting for security, lighting for interest, and we are including in the plans that each one of these areas has a soffit above it, so it's the facade of the building comes down and then it's recessed at the ground level. So we'll have soffit lighting that goes all the way around the building along the front and then also along the side to provide additional security lighting there. And then, I mean, we could work with whomever about is that 24/7, you know, is it all-night lighting, does it go off at midnight, or, you know, what's the strategy for that? But we think it's a good idea, too, for additional safety and to add some additional interest along that facade. So those are a couple of kind of site plan changes that we have made based on the comments that we've received before. If we go to the next. And this is a third level plan. And Robin, I know you weren't here before, but
I was not.
All of the units are essentially the same. There's five along the front, three along the west, three along the south. And what differentiates them is this first 4 feet, that either that 4 feet gets pushed in to create a balcony. In some cases, it gets pushed in, there's no balcony. Other places, the facade is pushed back. So it's a way of getting a lot of variety in the elevation without actually changing the units a lot, the floor plan of the units. And I mentioned that originally we had this corner removed, so it was a balcony at the third floor, and now we've adjusted it so that this is now a balcony. And we did a couple of quick perspectives that will sort of show you the impact of just doing that. This drawing also explains the connection between the new building to the rooftop that you went through. We're looking at setting the roof terrace back about 13 and a half feet from the facade. And you'll see in a moment, perspective view, you really can't see that it's up there when you're at street level. From a pure elevation point of view, obviously you'll see railings and things like that. But from a perspective street view, having it set back that far, you wouldn't even realize that it exists. One of the interesting parts of this roof terrace is that it can't actually bear on the existing roof because of its load, and it will have a structure that's completely independent of the Julie and Drew building. We're going to run columns through the building all the way down to grade, and there'll be columns that will support this deck. And this side, the roof terrace will bear off of the new building. So it's actually the self-supporting roof terrace that's up on the top of the Julian and Drew building. We are proposing to extend an existing stair that is currently in the building that would get extended to the rooftop. And that was one of the comments that John, I know you made. And you can see the result of that in a moment. But what we're proposing is, because it pops up above the roof, it is something that you'll probably be able to catch a glimpse of. And what we're proposing now is that the front facade and the return and sort of the landing areas, that all becomes glazed and glassy. And then we just have two solid portions on either side that sort of hold up this relatively flat roof that's above it. And you'll be able to see that in just a moment. But the idea of extending this stair up is that becomes one of our exits for the roof terrace. The other exit is through the new building. And there are cross-use easement agreements that are in place to allow each building to do that. Next one. This is the west facade of the building. And this was one of the areas that we're concerned about, kind of that wall being too simple, not particularly interesting. So what we're proposing is that to develop a grid, I mean, obviously there's a grid that's established by the floor line, and then horizontally to do a little bit more of a random grid, and then different portions of that grid sort of pop in and out by, you know, just a couple of inches. So, but it's enough that when you see it in perspective, you know, it starts to give that elevation some real texture, and then obviously as the sun rakes across it, it creates these shadow lines. I mean, we still wanted it to look like a monolithic wall, but we did want to add that sort of texture and interest and vitality to it. One of the things that Chris, I know we talked about was sun screening and sun shading. I talked to Ross, the developer, about it. And I know you were advocating, well, maybe all of these units, particularly on the west side, should have balconies, because the balconies would help to provide some shading to the units. Ross's attitude was that, well, that's a non-starter for me. And that's probably why he didn't come today. but we do, and you can see the impact of having these recessed balconies by the shadows that get created. The one thing that we are doing for all of the units, they all have solar shades inside of them, automatic solar shades to not only for privacy, but obviously for sun and light control within those units.
Is it low-E glass?
It's low-E tinted
Actually, I brought the glass along. All of the windows are commercial windows, so it's a commercial storefront system. It's not residential. So it's 1-inch low-E insulated glass. The center portion is tinted, and the outside bands are clear. So, and part of the idea there is to continue to sort of emphasize that verticality running through the building. Now, we're just looking for that kind of layering of the horizontal and the vertical and creating sort of a quilt of those geometries going on. And the next elevation. Okay, this is the east elevation. Obviously, it's faded because it's way off in the distance. You can see the east side of the Julian Drew building here. Up on the top here, that's the stairway, John, that has popped up through the roof.
Yeah, and it's actually considerably smaller from Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
It's rear-ended.
Yes. But that shows you the glass that's sort of on either end, and then there's just that solid portion in the middle. And then on the east facade of the building, where before this was pretty much a solid monolithic facade, again, we're looking at emphasizing those subtle differences in plane to give some more additional texture and interest. I believe overall there's probably just, you know, a 6-inch variation in the levels. You know, it goes from 2 to up to 6 inches. But it's done in kind of a random patterning that you'll be able to see in a minute in the elevations. Okay, next. And this is the north elevation. Again, here's where we sort of flipped these units and made this one the cutout unit here. And you can see now that we have these three balconies that all relate to that, plus that band relating to that, that there is, in elevation, there's a stronger visual connection. But in a moment, when you see the perspective, you'll see that three-dimensionally, it's a much stronger connection. Here's that stair element as it pops up above the roof. And the idea is to make it something that's interesting and new, but it's kind of removed from your sight, so it's more of a curiosity than something that is meant to really pick up any of the characteristics of the Julian Drew building, other than the color of it. Oh, the other thing I wanted to point out, and John, this may go back and forth a little bit. We're currently showing there's openings in that the north wall.
It looks like
stair.
More fenestration there. Yeah.
There is, because the fire department requested that north stair either be an open stair or a pressurized stair. I'm thinking open has to be cheaper.
Yeah.
So we designed it with these openings to get our code required openings to make it an open stair. And then, of course, yesterday the contractor comes back and goes, you know, that's more expensive than just pressurizing the stair. So we may be coming back to that.
Visually, it's more interesting, and it will be faster. Yeah.
And if it is a solid wall, I mean, I've talked to the lighting designer about this element out here is a freestanding structural screen wall with bands of perforated metal in it. And we talked about adding lighting to the back side of that so that you would wash that wall, even if it is solid, you would wash that with lighting at night, which would really help with that separation between the new and the old. So that's another concept that we're
it looks like a less harsh transition this way.
Well,
in my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Hop around. But yeah, what happened was once it went to an open stair, then the interior finishes of the stair suddenly become exterior finishes, which are more expensive than to do interior finishes. So I didn't think it would be that.
Could do fixed glass,
but yeah. And pressurized. Exactly. I believe that was it for the elevations.
On the terraces, is there going to be any kind of retaining wall around it, fencing, or whatever it's going to be to keep people from off the roof or the terrace?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the roof terrace itself, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would that be? Glass as well, or?
Well, it's probably going to be a perforated metal screen. And the issue with that is there's a lot of junk on the top of the Julian Drew building. Each apartment has its own rooftop unit. The restaurants, their condensing units are all up on that roof. So if we were to have glass, it's like you'd be on the terrace looking through glass, looking at all this junk. So we want to have something that at least when you sit down, there's some screening, there's some filtering between your eyes and the rest of what was on the roof. So it would be a perforated metal. Which reminds me, one of the other things we talked about last time was, I know Ross was leaning toward doing balcony railings and stuff with the ubiquitous 2x4 welded wire mesh, and pretty much everyone sitting around this table went, And one of the options that we have been looking at was doing a perforated metal screening, and I know Rick and I, we talked about using this. This was always my first choice, and again, it gives you some of that filtering of light, yet when you put a color on it, and you look at the elevation, it actually has some presence to it, where something like this, it just kind of disappears, and I don't think it's quite as interesting. So we're going back to that as being the material for the all the railings and stuff in the building. And we looked at one where the holes are small enough in it that it prevents people from easily climbing. We realized that if you're serious enough, you can climb anything. But that would prevent most people from trying to do that. Next. So again, this was the elevation or the rendering that was presented last time. And then if we go to the next one, now these are black and white, and we'll be doing these fully rendered in a minute, but you can see this is the corner that we cut away here. And you don't notice it quite as much when you're front on, but as you come around more to the side, as you're walking down the sidewalk, you can see how that corner's cut out and that corner's cut out. And that line just becomes a lot stronger when you look at it three-dimensionally. And this, the next image, I believe. So that's the older image. And then the newer image, again, the Julian Drew building. And then there's that corner that has been flipped so that you get that balcony relating to the top edge here, and those balconies there, and then there's a cutout here, so there's an edge there. So there's lots of edges that are occurring at that second level to help reinforce that. And one of the things that I personally didn't want to do was, for me, this is it's a fine line. I mean, you want it to be strong enough that you recognize that there is that relationship. And obviously there is, because the floor here aligns with pretty much the top of the parapet here. But if this was stronger, I mean, let's say with punched openings in a solid wall, then it would start to look so much like this. And then the proportion of the rest of the building becomes sort of awkward with just this three-story over this two-story solid. It seems like you'd want five or six stories above of the two-story solid. So, you know, we're looking for that line between what works here as a building and then what works here, tying the both together. So I hope you think we've at least come close to finding that line.
What's adjacent to this on Broadway and across the street?
Oh yeah,
you want to go to the aerial?
Sure. So immediately across Arizona Avenue is the old public access TV building. It's that two stories or Art Deco building.
There's a contacts in the package.
Street view here too.
The elevation.
Oh yeah, you can do a street view.
Yeah, of course, it takes us inside. Yeah.
It's Christmas. It's the holidays at El Charro. Right, so this is that's the site right there. Karatos in the back, Julian Drew here. Immediately across the street is the AC Marriott Hotel. And we actually looked at their alley, Arizona Avenue, to see what they had done. And they really didn't do too much. It's almost like there's a score line in the concrete that...
Every one of those blocks was supposed to get upgraded and the money ran out, so...
It's a shame. It would have been wonderful to do that. That's immediately across the street. Here's Pueblo Vida right there. I was so relieved at the last presentation. I thought they were talking about leaving here and moving. I was very saddened by that thought. So it's one of my favorite places. But one of the things, again, the new building that we're trying to do is when you look at a lot of buildings in the neighborhood, even the historic buildings, you look at the patterning of the windows, and there aren't just large sheets of glass. Everything has some sort of mutton pattern to it. The building, the 30s or 40s, public access TV building, and what it has, the sort of industrial sash windows to it, the gridding of the building. The carriage house has that same sort of feeling. Pueblo Vida, their renovations to their facade has that same sort of feel to it. Obviously, ours is a different scale because it's a different size building. But those are some of the little clues that we're picking up on. In terms of coloration of the building, we are looking to pretty closely match the color of the Julian Drew, which can be tricky because depending on what time of the day it is, how the light hits the building, which brick you're actually trying to
match. I don't know that you'd want it to totally match anything.
Yeah, I don't think
we'll get there. Amen to that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get there anyway, but we want it to be in that same sort of color family so that there's that relationship between the two. It was either that or this color.
I had to lean back to see if he was teasing.
Yeah. I was teasing.
Thank you.
But yeah, the context of the neighborhood is varied. I mean, there's a lot of different types and styles of buildings going on in that particular location.
Before we get to questions, I did skip preliminary staff remarks. I don't know if there are any preliminary staff remarks.
So the only thing that's changed since the last time you've seen it, Rick Gonzalez has been able to finalize his comments of his review. So those are now available on Pro. You can pull those up if you'd like, but he has recommended approval. But no, other than that, there's no additional comments.
Let's open up for comments and questions.
While we're looking at the picture, have you figured out to do what to do with stray light in the parking lot?
I've asked Dennis Kuhn about that. One of the thoughts was there is that gap
between that and the carriage trade?
Yes.
What's the question?
Oh, there's a...
They purchased one of those historic lamps as part of the lighting project that would be great to leave and relocate the area.
It's located about right here. And one thought was, can we relocate it back to here?
It'd be great if you can.
And if not there, and if in fact Ross owns it, maybe we'll put it back in here somewhere. But I know it's available to be used for something. So, yes.
Your question, have you revised any way about closing the western openings on Julian Drew so that it could be reversible following Secretary of Interior standards?
That's a very detailed thing, but we're just infilling it essentially with studs and rated drywall and EPIS so that it's clear that that was not part of the original building.
Okay.
But the color of it, again, will be...
But some of the original material may remain inside, so it could be reversed at a future...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's no need to take out the inside. The only real... serious thing we'll be doing is that actual opening at the second floor when we cut through that existing wall to get in.
And then the final thing, you were hoping to engage the artist to do a new mural. But I really like your new different planes, but it seems to kind of say no murals are coming on this site.
Or maybe a different kind of mural.
Okay. I just wondered if there was any.
Maybe more of a Mondrian-ish kind of mural that starts to. Yeah.
Or you could have separate ones happening inside the context.
Yeah, I'd hate to plan on a mural that never happens. But I do know Ross has been in contact with the artist that did the first one.
I think one comment might help the two people who weren't here before. The four or five-story building for residential, one street level, was approved, and the no parking, no bicycle parking way back when under the previous IID. So that's why there's less modifications we're looking at this project than we normally would. I didn't know if it was apparent where you'd come in.
No, that was helpful, thank you.
What is the, is there no required parking?
There is, it was granted in 2013.
Yeah.
Before much was built downtown. And that's one of the comments I'll have. At least a shared parking agreement or some sort of agreements. The existing parking, you got 44 units in it, and while I'd love to have everybody come down and they have a bike or use transit, I have a feeling that it's going to be most people are going to have a vehicle. And so they, arrangements need to be made that they can contract with whatever place to be to do parking and hopefully keep them out of here, because once again, we see that pressure going into different neighborhoods and having to deal with the traffic and parking issues. And so that's one thing I think would be important to consider doing that. Identifying, seeing how much parking is available, and so.
It's not really a requirement, but if Ross is interested in considering or offering some of those things, it would probably help when you do your formal review.
Yes, okay.
So can you just, for us that, that do not have that same knowledge, so in 2013, they approved development in this area without.
They got an IID parking that, and they got a director's decision that if it didn't change from a five-story, four residential, one commercial building scale was not specified, they were entirely waived to parking and bicycle requirements. And I think there are a couple of other waivers too that are actually conditions that run with the land. So that's why it's not going to be in that final development package that we see as even really part of our purview, except as a matter of discussion.
Commercial parking is already granted a waiver for parking in the IID. So,
thank you.
But I think that's something, it's a change environment from the time that was granted. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more competition for parking. I'd like to see cars disappear from downtown personally, but. So there's that. For me too, I'm considering the idea of shading along the west sidewalk. That's going to be in the right of way. There actually is right now at 12 p.m. on June 21st. That's going to be a brilliant place. And so, is there any way to do above that some sort of shading, a canopy of some sort? Ensure that that area, which will be used, is used, will actually have some, just not an oven you're walking in.
It'd be great, but I don't know where you put it because that's utility and fire access, and it's already, what, 24 feet?
Yeah, I believe it's a 26.
That two-story building will give you some shade.
Well, for half the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But not, you know, late in the day, you probably won't get much sun at all on that walkway.
And I still have concerns about the east and the west and south units and their exposure to sun. I know you talked about having some solar shades. I'm assuming, are those interior or exterior shades that will be?
They're interior.
Interior.
Yeah.
And I think those will become pretty hot boxes. We talked about the idea of some eyebrows, at least on the southern portion. And I don't know if it's going to explore, but I just think that that's why I suggested having balconies, just to have that recess and that extra shading. Plus, I think a lot of people find that a benefit, but I'm not the designer. And so.
Yeah, Peter, I'll say why he thought that idea was a deal killer.
He loves the variety that the facade gets by pulling and pushing the units in and out, and that if you just push them in and give it balconies, then it would just be an ordinary building with balconies.
But would he be opposed to like metallic screening elements on the outside?
Well, that's probably not. Probably not in the south. I mean, I think the west. I'm still somewhat worried about what we can and can't do in that over that right of way because it's so narrow in there.
It'd have to be.
Yeah. Plus the west, and as Robin knows, the west sun is
it's challenging.
Yeah, I mean, brutal. Basically, you cover it up or do the best you can.
Red reductions.
Has there been any ongoing discussion with consolidated trash collection on Arizona Avenue? I mean, that seems like it's been talked about for years.
Yes, the plan now. This is our trash area. We have room for four, I think they're 2 cubic yard dumpsters inside there. Some of the trash that is in the alley over here right now, some of the containers are actually coming from this restaurant. So they're not going to be using this. Some of the trash is coming from the carriage house. They're going to be using this. So the idea is to get people who are now using dumpsters that are up in the alley, they will now be locating their you can see them right here. So that will now be consolidated inside of our building. And to be honest, there's one or two along here. No one seems to know who they belong to.
When you go back to that plan view, how is that trash pickup actually working where you have it located?
Yeah, there's a roll-up door here. And on trash day, they're going to roll it out, bring it out to here for pickup, roll it back in. And
like they do at One West and...
Exactly.
I was leery of that because I'm right by Low Casino where they do it on trash day, and it's kind of intense when you're right next door.
Right.
But they do, they bring them right back in. Okay. They're not out there very long.
On the upper level deck on the drawing we saw, was that a light well next to the stairwell?
Yes, there are existing
vector.
Right there.
Yeah, currently there are two light wells in the building, so we're going to capture those light wells and put skylights on them so that the corridor, the main corridor, will have actual natural light in it, which is great.
Perfect. We mentioned that on that other stairwell in the interior hallway on the new building, too. Have you come up with a new roof plan with any additional
guidance? I mean, we do have windows at the ends of those corridors, except for the one.
Okay, that's mainly the stair.
Yeah, I mean, we have windows here. Obviously there we don't, but on the floors above we do. So again, we're trying to get natural light at the ends of those corridors so that it just makes it a lot more pleasant.
So there's only 3 units on each floor, though, that face west, correct?
3 that face west.
And the middle unit, at least in the worst part of the summer, we'll get some relief because the sun is way in the northern portion of the sky.
And I think there are 4 units on that side that have balconies, so they're providing shading.
Oh, I see.
And then there's, I mean, I suppose we could go to that elevation to see how many are actually. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that are out front. So that means there's 6 that get some type of shading and 6 that so it's a 50-50. But in terms of creating some sun shading at the street, again, I don't know what the height restriction is, how high a canopy has to be off of the right-of-way, but what would be wonderful is just be able to take these elements, which are now just sort of surface depth, and actually pull those out 4 feet, and they could become part of the shading along that side.
I know a fire engine has to get under it. I think it was 13 feet.
Yeah.
It might have to be at the second floor.
It would, yeah.
It's
up there.
So. And one last thing is we talked about bicycles, security for people that have them, use them, and a place where people can actually store it and work on them besides indoor apartments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there?
Well, right now, the best bet for that, and I'm working on Ross, is you can go to the first floor plan. On the first level, this is actually an apartment currently. It has a little tiny loft in it, and actually has a basement in it as well. But it's not a very pleasant apartment. And that would be a wonderful idea to have a bike storage area, even a bike repair area. It's currently accessible from this side. It's also accessible from this side. So the tenants that are in this building could use it. Probably the people that are in the new building Ross is planning, they could also use that. I've been encouraging him to use that space. That'd be a great amenity, very convenient spot.
If you got really hot in your West apartment, you could go down in that basement.
Sure.
I've actually been in that basement.
Have you really?
My optometrist used to be in that building. And he would grind his lenses in that basement. So
interesting history.
My only question, I wasn't here for the first one, but I understand the articulation of the west and east elevations of the panel, stucco panels. And I'm assuming you haven't quite completed thinking about how that actually gets constructed and built and maintained over time, but they're not huge elevations. And so I just wonder about the previous conversation about adding interest to them. I mean, there's a lot going on in the building overall, and how those are detailed is going to be pretty important in how they read and how they wear over time. So have you started to think about that and the edges of those and how they're waterproofed, the tops and whatnot?
Well, yes, and it's not like they're actual individual panels. It's more like you're just taking the plaster and you're pulling it in and out, and you're just wrapping it.
So you're really seeing it as a stucco,
you're really seeing it as
sculpture.
It's a stucco sculpture that just has sort of relief to it, not as kind of individual, panels that are nice and crisp and tight. I think my biggest concern over time is just that you get dust building up on the tops of edges, and when we do get rain, you'll eventually get some streaking and stuff on those panels. But again, that could add to the character and the interest of the facade. So,
Are you still going with the drive-in?
Pardon?
Are you still going with the drive-in?
They're still going with the drive-in, yes. And I know, I remember your bird comment.
There have been four new buildings in Army Park that have been attacked since we last saw you, where the entire facade and upper areas, and it is absolutely impossible to patch because it's the other gold color and it fades. It's got plastic parts in it.
Because I talked to Rob Taylor about it with his buildings downtown, and he hasn't. Maybe it's the bird population in Armory Park as well.
Any more questions for Bill? Okay.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Appreciate you refining.
I enjoy these conversations.
Marie, can we adjourn for a quick 5 minutes or learn how to use the restroom?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair.
Tell Ross we're in trouble.
Great.
Tell Ross we're in trouble.